This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who aspire to be. If you're a real estate, mortgage, or financial professional, this is the place for you. We'll explore innovative investment analysis, sales, marketing, and income-generating strategies for the most historically proven wealth creator, income property. Learn from the experts as they show you how to build a better business and a better life.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who desire to be. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about increasing your income, your productivity, and just generally having a better life while serving your clients better with America's most historically proven asset class, income property. We have a great interview for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds. It's my pleasure to welcome Abhi Shamesh to the show. He is founder and managing partner of Amerinote Exchange, located in San Francisco. And we just want to talk about note investing and selling notes that you might own. Also, the broader real estate market and paper market, I guess I'll say, as a whole. Abhi, welcome. How are you?
Hey, very good, Jason. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's good to have you on the show. So first big topic, of course, everybody always wants to know, you know, where's the housing market going? I mean, where you are, I would say, and I don't know if you're going to agree with me, but I would say it's got to be a bubble. I mean, San Francisco prices are absurd. But, you know, what do you think?
Yes, sir. Absolutely correct. As far as San Francisco, we are seeing unprecedented, above asking sales happening right now in the Bay Area, but specifically in San Francisco County and the surrounding areas. But as far as the national market, obviously you have different climates and micro markets throughout the country. But I got to say, I mean, in especially in the bigger cities, it is what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing is that 2015 is the year of the seller. I mean, it's really going to be a seller's market, and it's really roaring back, specifically in California.
Yeah. But I mean, there's a lot of talk that California is a bubble and it's softening in some places. I mean, it's the typical cyclical versus linear market scenario, right? You know, we're certainly seeing the area, the hybrid markets like Phoenix soften up. We used to do business in Phoenix, you know, a couple times in and out over the years, and it got too expensive. It always does. And then we come back in when it starts to drop again, or hopefully hits the bottom. Actually, that's the perfect timing. But you think California's got some gas still in the tank, and it's got a ways to go still?
I don't know about a ways to go. I definitely think it still has gas in the tank. I mean, there are certain areas, and what we see typically is, you know, many Californians may be familiar with, west of the I-5 or Interstate 5, which goes up and down the state, closer to the coast, you're going to see obviously a lot more real estate traffic and sales and prices holding, whereas on the eastern part of the state or the more rural part of the state, obviously you may see it softening up if it has not already. But yes, to answer your question, I do think it still has gas in the tank, sure.
I mean, the housing affordability numbers are just so out of sync, you know, in some areas, not in all, obviously. Average price in San Francisco, or median price, I mean, is like over $1 million. It's just crazy.
Over $1 million. That is correct. As a matter of fact, what we're seeing and what we're hearing is when folks are, you know, listing the average, you know, median home, $1.2 million, you have investors and homeowners that are coming in and just going $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 over asking immediately. I mean, it is something that I've never seen, and quite frankly, I don't have the investment appetite to engage in.
I would agree with you completely, and I don't think that should even be called an investment appetite. It should be called an appetite for gambling. So, you know, gambling and speculation, that's all that is. I've seen that cycle repeat too many times. What about interest rates? You know, the Fed is definitely making noise about rates and starting to push them up, you know, or saying that they're going to. What are your thoughts?
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, at this point, where else can they go but up? You know, you have interest rates that have been at record lows, slight fluctuations over the course of the past decade for sure, but specifically, you know, definitely on the lower end. And, you know, it's definitely a good time if you have the credit worthiness to go out and to you know, get a traditional loan for the purchase of real estate. But in my industry, the note industry, I guess you would say, specifically the seller finance industry, you know, there are a lot of folks out there that cannot meet the criteria of a lot of these lenders, whether it be, you know, small business owners that have too many tax write-offs and you know, they don't look good on paper, but they have, you know, a nice down payment and decent credit, to the ones that have, you know, good income with poor credit or a very poor debt-to-income ratio. So there's definitely a myriad of different scenarios that could occur here that would either allow or not allow someone to get a loan. But I think the rates are just going to go up. I mean, where else can they go?
I guess the only way I would answer that question is to say, look at Japan, right? You know, and now Germany, you know, negative interest rates on what, German bonds, I think? I read an article about that a couple of weeks ago. It's just, that's startling. I mean, that's just so illogical. It's crazy.
It is. And Japan is a very good indication or a very good example of you know, I guess what could happen. You know, it's definitely a unique time in the real estate industry here as far as the mortgage. But it's definitely going to go up, and interest rates are most certainly going to go up along with the hopefully a laxing criteria. We'll see if that occurs. But
yeah, so my contention was during the financial crisis, you know, of course, beforehand, the banks were just being stupid. They were loaning money to anybody who could fog a mirror, you know, day out of prison, day out of bankruptcy, no job, you know, doesn't matter. You know, I'm sure you remember that crazy time. But I think they've overcorrected. You know, I just think they're being too strict now. Would you agree with that assessment?
I would absolutely agree with that. The pendulum has swung in the opposite direction, you know, and it is very, very much so the opposite of what we were seeing, you know, pre 2008. So that is exactly what is happening now. And I'm hoping, as a lot of investors and borrowers are, that it's going to, you know, even out here a little bit, and hopefully in the near future.
And it's definitely, you know, since the worst time when they overcorrected the most, it's definitely come back a bit, and it's gotten a little more rational in terms of the ability to borrow, but I don't think it's come back enough, especially in favor of the investor, oddly, because the investor, at least they get income from their property, or, you know, at least hopefully, they should actually get more desirable loans than homeowners, if you ask me. The history has shown us different things in different scenarios, but you know, when a property produces income, it seems like the financing ought to be better for that than a home in which somebody lives. You know, I've always kind of thought we have that backwards a bit, you know, but we can move on to other subjects. So on the flip side of this equation, the interest rates one can earn on an investment, and you can't earn anything in the bank. I mean, it's a complete joke. Even if you have, you know, $99 million, you're going to get almost nothing from the bank. So you know, one of the really secure, good ways to earn good returns is, you know, of course, I love income property. I love owning the actual asset, the physical asset myself. But, you know, it's not as scalable and it requires management and attention. And if you don't have the tolerance for that, sort of the next best thing is investing in the paper, you know, in my opinion, and you can earn some great returns on the paper, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And to your point and what you were saying about owning the actual asset in real estate, I mean, that is a fantastic mode of investment for sure. But you definitely, especially if you're owning more than one property, and let's say you own income properties out of state, you have to have the infrastructure in place to service the tenants and the maintenance and so forth, whereas owning the paper, you don't have to worry about the, you know, air conditioner going or, you know, anything like that as far as landlording, because, again, you're just in it for the paper. And really the bulk of your concerns at that point is servicing and default. But it definitely is a very, very lucrative way to earn a decent yield with your putting your money to work.
Sure, absolutely. So tell us about, you know, what someone should know about buying notes. I mean, you buy a lot of notes, and I'm sure you've been burned on a few over the years. What lessons have you learned that people should know about?
Sure. Due diligence, the most important. It is very important that if you are going to, pay out money, your hard-earned money, on a mortgage note, that you want to perform all of the diligence and not take anyone's word for it. A lot of investors and brokers as well, I've seen, have cut corners in the sense of, you know, not, you know, kind of skimming out on the appraisal or the valuation and verification of what the property's condition is and the worth of the property or the collateral securing the note, as well as, obviously clean title. Most investors do take that into consideration, but you want to make sure that there's no actions or any kind of a clouded title, so to speak. My biggest point of being burnt was purchasing non-recourse loans or corporate borrowers where there is no personal guarantee. And then once the corporation goes belly up, they stop making payments, they dissolve the articles of organization because they don't have any real debt attached to the LLC or whoever it was that was paying the note, you're really in a hot mess there. And I mean, you can definitely get the property back, but it takes you a heck of a lot more time, especially in judicial foreclosure states, which are in fact nightmares.
When you said a corporate borrower, I mean, I would assume that's mostly on a business loan, and I know you do business loans too, so we're not just talking about real estate, but you had a corporate borrow on a real estate deal?
I did. Not only on a real estate deal, on a mobile home note transaction, believe it or not.
On a single mobile home or a big park?
On a single mobile home. Yes, sir. And this was, luckily for us, this was in a non-judicial deed of trust state. So we had an easier time doing it, but this was an investor who purchased a mobile home. It wasn't a large investor. It was a local investor. And they just fell short and, defaulted. And they, gave us the runaround for quite a bit of time. So, yeah, it was a unique situation. But that was my biggest learning experience as an investor, is to make sure that there's always a personal guarantee. Or if the corporation, of course, is a publicly traded company, that's obviously good enough for us.
What about just on, single family home type deals?
Yeah, the biggest item that we've seen as far as problematic situations for us, especially over the course of the past 3 years, has been what we've been talking about earlier, which is that real estate market. You know, a lot of the properties were sold, a lot of the notes we were receiving were secured by properties that were underwater. We drilled down and did our diligence on this, but, keep in mind, most of the time we'll do just broker pricing opinions or drive-by appraisals to keep our costs down. But in certain markets, specifically in my opinion, I guess we refer to it as the Rust Belt, but, Western Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, parts of Missouri, parts of Illinois, it's very important in those particular areas where market has seen a little bit of a dip, and then in parts of the South as well, southeastern part of the country, it would be wise to splurge and get a full-blown appraisal done, if possible. That way you can really gauge the characteristics of the collateral that secures the note that you're purchasing.
Where should you order that appraisal? Probably not from a referral from the seller or the owner, I should say, or maybe a broker who wants to see you do the deal necessarily. An appraisal management company, does the public have access to that?
Yeah, absolutely, they do. There are many, especially in the wake of the 2008 market crash, you had a lot of non-performing loans hit the market. you know, specifically really in the past three and a half years. And out of this has been grown a lot of these companies that now provide, REO solutions or real estate owned property solutions, also servicing the non-performing loan market as well, where they, you know, will do, you know, multiple drive-by appraisals. So they, the public definitely has access to that, but it is a big no-no to ever go with a suggested appraiser by either the seller of the note that you're purchasing it from, the borrower, in which the person that's going to pay you if you do acquire the note, or a note broker that brings you the deal. You want to make sure that you independently review and investigate all of your options. You can take suggestions into consideration for sure, but I would never, ever go on the word of any party that could gain from the transaction in that sense. We want to keep it neutral. We want to keep it fair.
And how about checking title and so forth? You know, any particular tools you want to mention there, websites, you know, tools that you use that maybe the listeners would love to know about?
Yes. I wish there was the actual checking of title would be a little bit easier, but unfortunately with us, I mean, we do it kind of the old-fashioned way. I mean, typically speaking, what we do is a lot of these seller finance transactions, I would say about 75% of them are closed handled at a title company at the closing or the origination of the note. So what we typically do is we'll go back to that same title company and you know, because that title company is familiar with the file and so forth and so on, it just makes life a lot easier and it kind of speeds up the process in some cases up to a week in turnaround time it may save us, especially if we can do like a policy endorsement versus a fresh title search in some cases. So we typically go back to the same title company, but as far as any tools to be used for realtors and investors, I'm not really aware of any pertaining to the title search process, other than, you know, our preliminary diligence, which is county website searches and so forth.
Anything else you want to say about buying notes before we move on to selling mortgage notes?
Sure. I mean, as far as buying notes are concerned, it's not for, I mean, if someone is buying or considering purchasing a mortgage note, you definitely want to make sure that if you are going to purchase, especially if you're new at it, that you, A, consult an attorney. You want to make sure that you have all of the legal parameters within the state that you're planning on purchasing. In addition to that, I would also recommend that you talk to your accountant for taxability purposes and any taxable events that can occur if and when you purchase a note. And more importantly, you know, I wrote an article about a year ago talking about, can I get scammed in the note business? And the real part where you...
And the answer is definitely yes.
Yes, the answer is definitely yes, but it doesn't happen in the selling of the note. It happens when you decide to buy notes. And then you go to someone and they say, oh, I can promise you 18% and so forth and so on. You just got to watch out. You got to make sure that if you're going to give someone your money, especially in a fund, that they're a legitimate fund, you do your research on them. In my opinion, the best way is just to go out there, roll up your sleeves, and cultivate and harvest your own seller leads so you can determine what's good for you and what's not, especially for a savvy investor.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of funds by any means. I think, you know, being a direct investor is the way to go. And it seems like you agree with that, right?
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
So in terms of selling notes, any advice there?
Yes, selling notes. I have much experience in this realm. And if someone's planning on selling a note, first and foremost, they should understand and know that selling a note is not for everyone. People sell notes, and I always say, selling a note should not be your first line of defense. It should be your last line of defense. So if you need to generate capital and you want to do it maybe through a bank or a traditional lender, you know, if you can go that route and you can get a decent interest rate on the capital that you want to borrow, so be it. When you do sell a note, you are going to sell it at a discount, as most note transactions are conducted. That discount typically, you know, can range anywhere between, you know, 35% of the unpaid principal balance as high as just 10%, maybe in some very rare cases even 5%. So between 65 cents and 95 cents on the dollar, and this is typically...
You really mean that's the discount. So you mean you might buy it for as low as 5 cents on the dollar?
I beg your pardon. No, we would buy it for between 65 cents and 95 cents on the dollar. So the discount could be anywhere between 35% or 5%.
Okay. But see, I thought you were throwing in there, and why the range is so big is because, you know, when you deal with non-performing seconds, I mean, you really can buy those incredibly cheap sometimes.
Absolutely. And I was actually just referring to performing firsts. In that sense.
So a 5% discount up to a 35% discount.
Typically speaking, yes. And that will all depend on the characteristics of the loan and the characteristics of the collateral securing the loan. So
how does a buyer or seller, you know, I mean, we're both, you know, probably going to be on each side of the table at some point. Where can they, I mean, is there a formula? There needs to be a piece of software that will rate what that note should price at. How do you do that, for example? Because notes have such varying characteristics. Look at, I mean, think about all of the data points here. There's the geography, the type of property, the amount of seasoning, the rate, the term, how many payments are left, the creditworthiness of the borrower. I mean, there's just a, you know, the loan-to-value ratio, there's such an array of characteristics. It's pretty complicated.
It very much so is, and that's probably why there is, I mean, I'm not saying software wouldn't be able to do it, especially in this day and age, but as of right now that I'm aware of, there is no particular software that can accurately predict what the offer would be. It really does require human interaction. So if a seller, just to answer your question, wants to know what their note's worth, I mean, typically a seller will reach out to multiple note brokers or note buyers, and they'll fill out a submission form, and they'll get a soft bid on the note that they're trying to sell. Now, usually this should take, you know, with us, it just takes a matter of minutes in some cases, up to maybe a couple hours, but, others, it may take a couple days. So it really depends on the bandwidth and the size of the company that the seller reaches out to. But, it's really done the old-fashioned way. The note business, unfortunately, is a very unsophisticated, low-tech industry.
Yeah. But, you know, if it only takes you a few minutes, for example, in that example you gave, someone calls you up and says they want to sell a note, and they say to you, Abby, what will you pay me for this note? How do you figure that out? I mean, do you have a great worksheet or something that can just lead you through that formula?
That is exactly right. There is a mortgage note submission form. We have forms for residential, commercial, mobile homes, bare land. But that's exactly right. We'll get the property address. And that's really all we need, because in this day and age, we can just go online and find out more about the property just with the address. We'll also get the sales date, the sale price, the down payment, the interest rate, the amortization, if there's any balloon payments, how many payments made, first payment date, and from that we can figure out how many payments remaining. So there's a lot of people out there that may have all this information. Some other people may say, well, I have this, and then we got to play detective, of course, and we basically give them an offer predicated on the information that they gave to us verbally. If they like that offer, what would happen then is we would ask for the documentation to verify the info that they gave us. And at that point, we would begin the process.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, anything else you want people to know about selling notes?
If you are selling notes, it's very important that you do your research. You want to make sure you're dealing with a reputable company, preferably one with an internet presence. In addition to that, there are a lot of folks out there that say that they're note brokers or note finders. Again, you just want to make sure that they have, you can find them online, you can research them a little bit, and just really drill down in your research. And more importantly, try to get them on the phone. I mean, usually, if they sound like they don't know what they're talking about, 99% of the time it's probably true. So you just want to make sure that you're dealing with the right person. And that's my biggest piece of advice to any note seller out there.
Yeah, good stuff. Abby, give out your website if you would.
Sure. Our website is www.note-buyer.net. And that will take you to our company website, which is Amerinote Exchange, LLC, located in San Francisco.
Okay, so that's note-buyer.net. Note-buyer.net. Abby, thank you so much for joining us today and explaining some of this. We appreciate the good insights.
I really appreciate you having me, Jason. Thank you.
You know, sometimes I think of Jason Hartman as a walking encyclopedia on the subject of creating wealth.
Well, you're probably not far off from the truth, Penny, because Jason actually has a 3-book set on creating wealth that comes with 60 digital download audios.
Yes, Jason has that unique ability to make you understand investing the way it should be. It's a world where anything less than 26% annual return is disappointing.
I love how he actually shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I also like how he teaches you to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
And the entire set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered at a savings of $94.
That's right. And to get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series, complete with over 60 hours of audio and 3 books, just go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month, just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.